Well, today we'll look at dearly loved children of light. And again, we're going to focus on being Christians by shining forth the glory of Jesus and being discerning and wise in how we live our lives. We're only given a short amount of time, and we need to learn to number our days to get a heart of wisdom. And so this passage is intended to help us with that. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 5, we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and you'll remember the three things primarily that Paul wants to accomplish through this book. Paul writes the letter to the Ephesians with three main things in mind, and I want to remind you of that as often as I can. The three things are these, that we would have unity as God's people, and we'd understand our unity in Christ and each other, that we'd have maturity, that we'd realize that we are babes, and that we must grow and continue to be growing. So to reach maturity. And the third is that we might know true spirituality. And so that's the purpose. That's the reason Paul wrote this under the inspiration of the Spirit, so that Christians might know their true unity with Jesus and each other, that they would know what it is to be mature, to have maturity, and that they would know true spirituality. So this is God's Word. This is holy. It is inerrant. It's infallible. It is the very, very Word of God. We take it very seriously. So let's stand for the reading of the Word, if you're able. If you're able to stand, let's stand, and let's read this Bible. This is Ephesians 5, and I'll begin in verse 1 to root us in the promises of grace. Paul says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Thus ends the reading of God's Word. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we have your Word open before us, and we pray now that you would help us to understand this passage. Oh Father, we pray that you would speak as the great shepherd to your sheep, that you would give us hearts that can hear and obey, and that you'd give us ears to hear, that we would not be distracted, that you'd help us, O Lord, to get this deep down within us, and that we might shine as the firmament as we reflect your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's important when we're approaching this passage, we're going to be looking at the fact that we're children of light, and children of light live as discerning children, that is, wise children. It's important to go back to verse 1 before we proceed and be reminded that true believers are children of God. True believers are God's beloved children. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are dearly loved children. We are Jesus' younger siblings. And because of the grace of God that's been shown to us, we are to live as children of light. The two main things I'll focus on today that I want you to know when you leave here that I pray will transform you are, one, we're to live in the light and shine the light. Number one, we're to live in the light and we're to shine the light. We're to live reflecting the glory of Jesus by faith, and we are to shine forth this light to the world. And number two, we're to be discerning and wise, which is part of the first one. Number two, we're to be discerning and wise. Being discerning and wise is so much more than having knowledge. It's so much more than just merely knowing God's commandments. Being wise is no less than keeping God's commandments, but it's so much more. It's how to take the truth of God's commandments, how to take the knowledge of God and apply it in this particular circumstance. That's what's so hard along the journey. This particular circumstance, how do I obey? How do I please God? When it's not so clear. If you remember, we're told to be imitators of God as dearly loved children. And we learned last time that imitators of God were those who lived lives of dying to self. That they were reminded that as Jesus made a costly sacrifice for them, so they're to understand the cost and consider the cost of following Him and to make a sacrifice for Him and for others. And so Jesus, by His grace, gives us as His children power to reflect His glory as imitators. Remember last time we learned that imitators were mimics. They were those who saw something others were doing and they mimicked it. They copied it. We're to be mimics of Jesus as the true light of the world. In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus calls men and says, I am the light of the world. And we, as imitators of God, are to walk in love by being light shiners. As Jesus says, we are to let our light so shine before men that they will see our works, the things that we do because of the grace of God, not to earn the grace of God, the things we do for because of the grace of God we've received, and they will give praise and honor to our Father in heaven by His grace. That's what this passage is about. So living, learning to be discerning and wise children is to walk in love. It's another way of saying walking in love. And in Ephesians 5:15, if you'll look, this summary statement of this entire passage, in Ephesians 5:15 and 16, if you look down, Paul says, look carefully then how you walk. Again, he's using that terminology of walk. Walking. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. Now listen very carefully. If you're a believer, you're a children of light. There's nothing you've done to deserve it. You have been shown the grace of God. And because of the grace of God, you are dearly loved children. But Paul in verse 3, before he gets to the being discerning and wise as the children, first of all, he warns those who would call themselves children of light who aren't truly children of light. And we must take this seriously. Now, I've talked about sexual immorality from this pulpit using this text previously. What I have not spoken of is in this context, Paul says there are sometimes people who are in the visible church who will call themselves children of the light. They will pride themselves on being children of light, and they are the children of darkness. They're the sons of disobedience. They have no inheritance with Christ. They await the wrath that is to come. And so Paul warns us. Look at verse 3. Right up front, he says, I want to show you that there's real consequences for sin. Before I encourage the children of light, let me make sure you are children of light, Paul is saying. He's showing us starkly. Verse 3 says, sexual immorality, all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Now, as he says in 1 Corinthians, you know, he's not saying sexual immorality of the world, as if we're to remove ourselves from all the sexual immorality of the world, as if we can remove ourselves from the sinfulness of the world, he says in 1 Corinthians 5. What he's saying is remove yourself from the sexual immoral that's in the church, the sexually immoral and impure and covetous who are in the church. This is idolatry. He says, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. Let there be thanksgiving. Now, what is he doing? Well, he's weighing us here. He's weighing us. He wants us to make our calling and our election sure. He's wanting us to determine whether we are children of light, because it's not just someone who says, Lord, Lord, who will enter the kingdom, but it's the one who Jesus knew and who obeyed Him by grace. And so Paul's warning up front. He's saying, don't call yourself a children of light if you are characterized living like the children of disobedience. Don't call yourself children of light if you're living in sexual immorality, if that's what characterizes your life. If you're living in impurity, if that's what characterizes your life, if you're living in covetousness, in greed, that's not what characterizes a child of light. And that's why he says it here. And so he says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Look at verse 6. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. He says, so someone can say that they're a child of God, but they can live like the world. And they can be characterized by living like children of darkness rather than children of light. And Paul's saying, if you're a true child of light, you may fall into sin, but you will come to realize you're a child of light, and that's not how you live, and you'll come to repentance and live as God has called you to live as children of light. You see, that's the warning here. It's placed here because all in the visible church, we can't see hearts. We only hear confessions. We hear people say, Lord, Lord. We can't see hearts. Paul's saying, search your heart. What are you characterized by? Are you characterized by sexual immorality, impurity? Is foolish and coarse talk and joking all that characterizes you instead of thanksgiving? If it is, you have no assurance that you're a child of God. That's what he's saying. And so he's saying, be warned. Be warned by this. Don't keep that. If you're truly a child of God, go back to verses 1 and 2. Remember, you're to be imitators of God in Christ. Live self-sacrificially, not sexually, and self-centeredly. You see, he's saying, if you are a child of God, hear! The God of wrath will come on the sons of disobedience. If you're living like them, you're partners with them. You're in fellowship. You're in koinonia with them. You're in allegiance with them. And so, it's important to face this. It's hard. Our confession in chapter 18 tells us very helpfully on the chapter in assurance that we can go a long time sometimes because of sins or because of temptations or because of things we fall into or difficult times. We can go a long time not knowing that we're assured, not knowing of our assurance that we're children of God. But our confession and the Bible tells us to seek to know our assurance. Seek to be sure. Make your calling and election sure, Peter says. But again, listen carefully. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. Listen, let no one come up to you and say, oh, that's just old-fashioned talk. Those are deceitful words. Let no one come up to you and say, that's unloving that someone would tell you to watch out in that area. Don't go near that. Or to be careful in your relationships. Let no one deceive you with empty words for the wrath of God. He's for real here, you see. Paul's saying, let it scare you back into the fold. Woo, I'm serious. Let it be the instrument that pushes you back to living consistently with who you are in Jesus Christ. He's not saying anything about that we earn our salvation here and that we fall out of our salvation. No, he's saying that salvation is by grace. You dearly loved children. You, from the foundation of the world, we've been elected in Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians 1:3. But he says we've been predestined in Jesus Christ to be his children who are holy and blameless. Remember? That was one of the first lines of the sentence in Ephesians 1:3. Holy and blameless. So children of darkness are characterized by sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, foolish talk, and they have no inheritance. So we're to say, is there a family resemblance? This is worth asking. This is about your soul. This is about my soul before God. Ask yourself, is there a family resemblance? Even on my worst day, is there a weak faith to take hold of a strong Christ? I'm not talking about having a superhuman faith or a superhuman life. I sympathize with you. The Christian life is very difficult. It's a long, slow process. The more we get to know holiness, the more we know our sins, the more we understand them. But are you struggling? Are you struggling to fight against the sins that so easily beset you? Are you angry at indwelling sin in your heart? It's here. It's here. Know it. It's trying to deceive you. It's trying to hurt you. So I realize we have a long way to go in our sanctification. And thanks be to God that He works in us that which is good and pleasing according to His will. Thanks be to God for His grace. He forgives us when we confess. But do you confess? And do you then walk away from fellowship with darkness? Confess your sins if you're walking in darkness. He's just and faithful to forgive you. Repent, turn away, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Run to Him for shelter, and then live like Him, reflecting His light and His glory. He promises He will never turn you away. He says, come to Me, you who are burdened by your sin, and I will give you rest. Your sexual immorality, your impurity, your covetousness will never give you rest. It only leads you into more and more slavery. Look with me again, Ephesians 5:5. We want to get on to the good news. Ephesians 5:5. But listen, you may be sure of this. That everyone who is sexually immoral, impure, who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Is that what characterizes you? Seek the Lord. Repent. Augustine of Hippo was a man who was characterized by sexual immorality, impurity, and covetousness. And the Lord in His grace used the Bible. One of the scriptures we read this morning, the Lord used this passage of scripture to grant Augustine, Aurelius Augustine, a fine man, a fine churchman, one of the finest thinkers and theologians of the church. This is the scripture that got to his heart. Listen, he's the one, remember in his confessions that told of his pre-conversion, he said, Lord, give me chastity, but not yet. Give me self-control, but not now. He wanted to keep on living in sin and listen to the scripture that got him. Romans 13:11. We read it this morning. You know the time. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And when he heard that, by the power of the Spirit, Augustine was awakened from his sleep death and his slavery to sin, from his following the prince of the power of the air, and he rose and walked forth and followed God. You see, the reason we want to escape the dominion of darkness is because in Christ, as believers, we have escaped the dominion of darkness. See, Colossians 1 says, He has delivered us, past tense, in Jesus Christ, from the domain of darkness, and He's transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. We have been transferred from darkness to light, you see, people of God. So children of God are those of light. Why? Because Jesus is the light. And He shines upon us so that we might make His power and grace known before a dark world. So walking in light, what's it about? What's it about being a child of the light? What's it about? It's about discernment. Okay? It's about wisdom. Look at verses 8 through 9. At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Let those words sink in and penetrate by God's grace. One time you were darkness. You were under the domain of darkness. You were in Adam, under condemnation, what we call original sin. You were born and conceived in this sin, under God's wrath. And He says, but now you are light in the Lord. Look at what He says, walk as children of light. In Christ, you've escaped the darkness. You've escaped the slavery. You've escaped the false promises of sin and the pleasures of sin for a season. So He says, walk in light, not in darkness. And look at the fruit of light, verse 9. It's what is good. It's what is right. It's what's true. This is the fruit of light compared to the unfruitful works of darkness. The unfruitful works of darkness that verse 11 tells us about. no sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, foul talk, but good, right, and true. What this is an explanation of what it looks like to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. How does our light shine? It shines not from something within us, but it shines as we live before the face of Jesus Christ, focusing on His beauty and His glory, living thankfully before Him because of what He's done for us, because of the precious blood He shed for us, and reflecting that light to others, not only in what we say, but in what we do, living thankfully because of what He's done for us, living holy and blameless before Him in obedience by His grace, not perfectly, but trying and seeking to do that because of His grace. Look at the goodness that He talks about. This is goodness. He says, good, right, and true is the fruit of light. Goodness, like the goodness of God, like the mercy, like the kindness. That's the kind of goodness we're to show. To show goodness and kindness and mercy to others because we are the recipients of God's goodness and kindness. Righteousness. We're to show God's righteousness. His goal for us, His dream for Christians, as we learned in Ephesians 1:5, is to be holy and blameless in Jesus Christ. You see, to grow in Him. This is not some kind of legalism. This is the beauty of being in Christ, that we can become beautiful like Him as we learn to live for Him. Truth. What is truth? The truth of God. Showing forth the truth of God. Speaking the truth in love, as Paul said. Learning to be truthful with others. Learning to show forth the truth to others. This whole idea of a light is being transparent and open before others as Jesus' light has shined upon us. But a contrast to the fruitful works of darkness, the works of darkness are ignorance and error and evil. Look back in chapter 4, verse 17. He says, I say this and testify in the Lord, you must not no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. So we're to live knowing the goodness, the righteousness, the truth. Ultimately, we're to be discerning children. Look at verse 10. He says, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Why does he say try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord? Well, see, we can know the commandments. As I said earlier, the discernment and wisdom are not less than the commandments of God, but there's so much more. We can hear, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, you should keep the Sabbath day, you know, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. But then oftentimes there's certain things in our lives, in daily circumstances, where we know the truth and we know the commandments, but it's hard to bring those things together, to have discernment is to between two decisions that are both okay. That is, both the decisions, they're not sinful in and of themselves. They're just two decisions we got to make. Two forks in the road. We've got to travel down one of them. Which one do we go? Which one's the most pleasing to God? Paul says, seek to try to do that. Try to do that under the Word. Try to seek to understand it. You see, walk as children alike. Try to discern each day what's pleasing to the Lord. What's the most pleasing? It's being dependent and humble on God. God, give me wisdom. Help me to know. So discernment is about applying the knowledge that we know of God in certain situations. It's taking specific situations that come in our lives, specific circumstances, and learn to live for God in a way that is pleasing to Him. You see, discernment is for the mature Christian. Listen to Hebrews 5:14, how it speaks of a discernment. It defines discernment as that which is constantly practiced, discerning good from evil. In Hebrews 5:14, solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Listen to it again. Discernment is for the mature Christian. It actually, to have discernment is to be a mature Christian. It is solid food is for the mature, the author of Hebrews says, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to discern good from evil. The famous passage in Romans 12:2, you remember, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. You might test to discern what is the will of God. As we learned earlier, discernment is about praying. It's something we pray for. As Paul prayed in Philippians 1, we read earlier, it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve what's excellent. So, what's discernment trying to do in the Christian life? Well, first of all, it's not trying to gain any salvation. It's not trying to prove oneself before the Lord. It's living as a child. It's living already as one who has the love and the grace of Jesus upon them. It's living, if you will, asking Jesus, Jesus, how do I this day, in this particular situation, how do I most please you? Discernment is concerned about living before the face of Jesus. It's about living to one master as a faithful soldier, as an athlete training and disciplining oneself for the big day, as a farmer, a hard-working farmer, patiently waiting on God, light reflecting Jesus, living before the face of Jesus in His beauty, wanting to make Jesus seen, wanting to, if I may, and say with great care, wanting to incarnate Jesus, wanting to be Jesus to others and show His light to them, to expose the selfishness and the sin in this dark world. The sermon's about not taking any situation lightly, but take every situation carefully. The sermon is about taking our deceptive, sinful hearts seriously. Listen, do you know that your hearts deceive you? Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We seek Jesus. We seek discernment because we can't know even our own hearts. Even our own motives are hard to know sometimes. So we must know how our hearts deceive us so that they may not. We know we want to discern and understand how easy it is for us to forget that we no longer fellowship with darkness anymore. As children of light, we're called to live as children of light, but it's very easy for us to drift. It's very easy for us to drift if we are not looking upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith. It's easier for us to move and drift toward sinning with others. And so, discernment asks these kind of questions, and these are just some to throw up to you as examples to help you to think of. But discernment asks daily, how does sensuality and greed of the world affect me? How do all the thousands of advertisements on the internet and the billboards, everywhere you go, how do all the magazine covers, how do those things, that sensuality, how does that greed, how does it affect you? Discernment asks those questions. I've got to be discerning. I've got to find out what pleases the Lord. I don't want to be duped into something or into believing the world's way of believing. It's very subtle. Discernment asks, how should I think? What thoughts capture my imagination? What do I think about in my spare time? You know, the things we think about the most, the things that we want the most, the things we tend to love the most, those things are what we worship, what we give a lot of our life and time to. So we want to think about those things. We want to know the difference between holy anger and righteous anger in our family, in our relationships. We want to ask ourselves if we're loving Christ as Christ loved the church. We're wanting to ask if we're filled with the Spirit daily. Discernment's about saying, what's the best for me and my family in this particular circumstance? It may be okay for others. It may be okay. It may not necessarily be a sin, but how do I get discernment? How do I find what's pleasing for me, for my life before God, and for my family? And so, discernment's asking, what's most pleasing to God? What's the best for my education? What's the best for my marriage? What's the best for my business relations? What are the best friendships and companions? But be warned about something, you know. A lot of our discernment comes from feelings. We say we pray for something and then we get peace about it. That's not a legitimate way to find discernment and find out what's pleasing to God. That's based on feeling. Discernment's found through searching the scriptures, seeking the counsel of others, listening, watching, growing, seeking God. It's not if we went on what our gut felt most of the time, we'd be in trouble. We want to find out from the scriptures and from counselors and through prayer how it is we're to be discerning, how it is we can find to please the Lord. And so this is also how we expose darkness. Look at verse 11. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. What he's saying is, live as light, live discerning, live pleasing God, live reflecting the beauty and the glory of Jesus, live loving and forgiving, as Christ came to love and to live and to serve. He says in verse 13 through 14, when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible for all to see. It becomes what it is. If you're living a righteous life, you're showing before your friends the way of Christ through discernment. If you as a family or you as a person are showing forth to others, your neighbors, your friends, what it looks like to serve Christ and the joy that goes along with it, the darkness that others are living under, the slavery and sin that others are living under, will be exposed. That's why sometimes they get angry with us. Because they see when the true Christian life is lived by grace. They see that they're in trouble. They see that their lives are lives of slavery. They see that they're really unhappy people. And they sometimes feel furious at it. But Paul's saying, use that light, use that discernment, be wise to show forth, expose it. Don't talk about what they do in secret. No, not worth your time. But show them. Show them what real life is all about. Show them that every human being who's ever lived and lives now was created in the image of God and created to serve and love Him and Him alone. And show them what it looks like to find fullness in Jesus Christ, to find your sufficiency and your all, to find all of your fears cast away because of the perfect love that drives out all fear. Show them what it means to be confident and courageous because you have a Savior who's greater than you. Because you have a Savior who's died for you and you've escaped the coming judgment. Show them what it is to live joyfully. That doesn't mean you won't have bad circumstances. It means that you'll live through those circumstances, growing more and more like Christ and dying more and more to self. And this is something people cannot do. You'll talk more about others and your concern about Christ and not so much about yourself. And that's something the darkness can't do. On and on. We could think about how to expose the darkness. But Paul's primary thing is to do it through light works. Not light like in heavy, but light works. Show forth your light so that they'll see my power and my grace, Jesus says. And so, living as children of light exposes seduction, lies, deception. And the Holy Spirit can even use our lives to awaken the dead. Arise, shine. O sleeper, rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Paul's saying our lives will be instruments. You know, sometimes Christians need to be seen and not so much heard because we oftentimes are full of a lot of hot air and hypocrisy. But the way that we live, is undeniable that something's gone right in our hearts. The way that we live, something's gone right in our hearts. Something's gone right in their lives. They were abandoned. They were forsaken. Their parents died. Something went right. They kept trusting. They lost an infant, a baby, only 170 something days old, lost a baby, their first child, to death. And something went right. They came to trust Jesus more. They came to show forth His glory and His grace. And no one could deny it. As Francis of Assisi said, you know, this is a good one. Preach the gospel. Sometimes use words. So Paul says, take no part in the works of darkness. Have no part of being a partner in crime with darkness. Have no part of being in fellowship. Have no part in aligning oneself with darkness, but rather expose it. Now listen. Have no part in the fellowship. What does that mean? Partnership fellowship means that we are in fellowship with the triune God in Christ Jesus and with one another. Our most important fellowship is the fellowship of the church with believers. That's how we grow and encourage one another and grow stronger, and our light is more powerful. Fellowship, and he says, do not share in the fellowship. Back in verse 7, do not become partners with them. That is, do not share in the fellowship with them as the children. I want to make a couple of things clear, if I may. He's not talking here about avoiding friendship with unbelievers. That's not to have fellowship. He's telling us to be warned about unhealthy relationships, unhealthy companions, companions and friends. True friends and companions are those who will, throughout your life, by the grace of God, point you to the most important person in your life, and that's Jesus Christ. True friends who truly love you by God's definition in Jesus Christ will be those friends who, thick and thin, will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ and be concerned for your soul. It doesn't mean to be not have friends. We're to engage the world. But we're also to guard ourselves against the world. We're to engage the world. We're to be in the world. It's not to be othered as the same thing. But we're to engage the world as Christians. We're to do our best in our calling. We're to show the light. But we're also to guard ourselves. Remember, the main war, people of God, is not out there. But here. Okay? The main war is not necessarily getting close out there. It's forgetting that you love getting close to evil too much in here. See, it's to avoid the monastery mentality. Martin Luther went and secluded himself in the monastery, and he realized that he went in there to get away from sin and the darkness of the world, and what he found was the darkness of the world and sin was in his own heart. So it's to avoid a monastery. We're to engage the world, but we're to guard at the same time. That's discernment. To gauge, engage, but guard. But we're neither to be monastics, monks, nor are we to be compromisers. You see, we're to engage, but guard. That is, we're not to withdraw in a monastery in our own little Christian cult-like place, where we're not in any way engaged with the unbelievers or with the world. But we're to guard ourselves, that out in that world, we dare not compromise. And so that's learning discernment by imitating Jesus. And so Paul summarizes it all in chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. And I'll begin to close here. But he says, discerning children, children of the light should be wise children. They should be wise. The wisdom of God is like discernment. It's not less than God's commandments, but it's so much more. And so he asked two particular questions that I want to leave you with today. Verse 16, what's the best use of my time? And two, what is the will of the Lord in a particular situation? Look at what he says. Read with me. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So two things. Notice, he says, look carefully. That is, be concerned about this. Make this your daily thought, to be concerned, to walk carefully. How many times this week did you wake up and say, I need to walk carefully today? I need to concern myself with my time. Not easy, is it? We forget so easily. So two things. What's the best use of your time? And what's the will of God in a situation? Where does the truth apply in the nitty-gritty, detailed moments of my life? Here's some questions that wisdom asks about time and about the will of God. It asks, well, I know I'm supposed to witness to unbelievers, but how close should I get? Won't I become like them if I get too close? Wisdom asks, how much of popular culture do I actually need to contextualize the gospel? Everybody's constantly telling us to contextualize the gospel. You've got to know what's going on in pop culture. How much of that do you need to really contextualize the gospel? The gospel's always going to be foreign and foolish to whatever age man lives in. We want to be wisdom, and we want to be wise. But the questions are, how are we wise? How do we use our time? Should I go to parties where I know there's unbelieving believers in drinking, and, you know, so that I can show them that we Christians, you know, can be cool too, that we can hang around? What's the difference between being in the world and not of it? When have I become unnecessarily strange in my witness to unbelievers? And when have I become too close and involved with unbelievers? When have I been strange? Too strange? Unnecessarily strange? And when have I just gotten too close? How do you know when you're in fellowship with darkness? Are you? How do you know? Are you? Are you closer with the world than you are with people in this congregation? That's a good question to start with. Are you closer with people in the church than you are with the world? That's a good question to ask. But then you have the problem of asking wisdom to, if you're not too much guarding yourself and having a monastic kind of mentality. For those who have experienced legalism in their Christian life, you need to be particularly wise about the use of your time in your newfound liberty in Jesus. The things that you formerly could not do, you can do now in Jesus, but you need to be wise. Is that the best use of your time? Sure, it may not be a sin, but is it the best use of your time? Is the best use of your time to tweet or chirp or bark on Facebook or any other social network rather than writing a letter to a loved one or going to see someone or going to serve someone face to face? Not just Facebook, but face to face book. Should we read the Bible? Or Jane Eyre and Huckleberry Finn? When do we decide? In what particular day? This day, I need the Bible. We have to have wisdom. We need wisdom. You know, we often say all things in moderation, but our hearts are weak and we don't really live like this, really. Be wise. The Bible says to get a heart of wisdom by numbering our days. It's a mist, and it's gone. It's a vapor. It's like a flower. You know, you can hold a flower, and it will fade right before your eyes. The petals will begin to fall off. That's life. The grass, it withers. The flower, it falls, fades. The word of the Lord endures forever. We need wisdom from God. Do you ask for wisdom from God? Do you ask wisdom for your children? Do you ask wisdom for your family? Because I have very good news for you. God longs as your heavenly Father to give His beloved and dearly loved children wisdom. To give you Himself. To walk with you day after day and teach you and guide you and say, this way, not that way. Listen, James 1, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind, for that person must not suppose he'll receive anything. He's a double-minded man. But the point here is that God is a generous, generous Father. We daily need wisdom. We daily need this wisdom in order to be discerning, in order to be children of light, and to live as Jesus has called us to live. So it's more than knowing the commandments, but not less. But it's that we remain utterly dependent upon God for the right kind of humility. Listen, remember that our days are short. Paul says that the days are evil. The Bible talks about that the last day is already at hand? How much time do we have? We've thought about how to consider the cost in the last sermon, but we also want to consider how to count the time. Again, Psalm 90, teach us, O Lord, to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. How do we do that as a congregation? This is all I'm going to say. Remember, pray for each other. Pray for each other. Pray for each other to be pure in heart before Jesus, that we might come to know the reality of who we are as children of God. Pray that we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we will seek to encourage one another with Scripture because we desperately need it. Seek God for wisdom in each and every day that you live. Don't be a monk, but don't be partners with the world either. Be wise. Be the light that you've been called to be to reflect Christ's glory. Show forth His beauty and His goodness and His power as children of light. Don't withdraw from the world, but don't deceive yourself either. Don't withdraw, but don't deceive yourself. Be a light in the world. Be different. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Do you believe Him? If you're walking in Jesus as children of light, you will not walk in darkness. You have His light. Light from His Word. Fellowship with Him. Fellowship in communion with God and with each other. So be imitators in this way of His light. Reflect His glory. Shine, children, shine. Remember Philippians 2. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Thanks be to God for Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we are poor reflectors of your glory at times. We live our lives as if we have eternity for ourselves. Father, help us and impress upon each heart that this world is merely preparatory. This is a preparation time we have to grow in Christ's likeness as your people, to shine forth your light. Help us not to get caught up in the fruitless or unfruitful deeds of darkness. Help us to expose them as children of light. Help deliver us, Lord, from the sins that so easily beset us. Lord, help us to grow more and more in Christ's likeness as we seek to find out what is pleasing to you. Help us, Lord, to constantly use our powers of discernment to distinguish good from evil. Help us, O Lord, to have wisdom as your people. Help us, O Father, that you might keep us from folly and from wasting our time. Help us to have wisdom, knowing that you're generous and gracious, and you'll give us the wisdom we need when we ask. You're pleased as our generous Father to guide us and to be with us and never forsake us. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your kindness in Jesus. Thank you that He entered into the world to engage it, to die for us, or to lay down His life for us. Thank you that He is the great light, and we want to look like Him. We want to reflect Him before the world. Father, I pray if there be anyone who is characterized more as the children of darkness who is here, who hears this sermon, I pray that you would convict their hearts, help them, grant them faith and repentance and help them to turn to you so they would know the great sacrifice and fragrant offering that Jesus has offered on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, that as dearly loved children, we are in Christ and we're loved because of Christ. Thank you for all the promises that you've bestowed upon us and that they are yes and amen in Jesus. May we live for you as light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.